Good morning. You young people and your new technology can't get that to work. You can always tell it's spring when the clock in the back is wrong and the Gallaghers are back, and so wonderful to have them back. We have many people that are visiting with us. We're certainly thankful that you've come out to be with us this morning. Great opportunity to worship the Almighty God, and we certainly appreciate you being here to do so. Appreciate Scott leading those songs and the wonderful singing. So we give glory and praise to the Almighty God. We certainly appreciate that very much. There was a family that was sitting in front of a fireplace, as they normally did it on cool nights. About an hour into it, they took their children up to bed, the three children that they had. And they came back down and there was a fire. Something had happened in the fireplace and some embers had shot out and started a fire. By the time they got down there, the whole first floor was engulfed, and so they called for the kids to come down, and only two of them came down, two boys. They all got outside. The dad ran around to the front of the house, or to the window where his daughter was, and was pleading for her to jump, and she would not jump. And the dad watched his daughter die in the window. What makes it worse, and not necessarily part of this story, is that one of the sons went back in to try to save her and passed away as well. Here are some of my relatives, some of my cousins down the line, that occurred. And I've always thought about the fact that the dad was out pleading for his daughter to jump out the window, but she was so fearful of that she just couldn't do it. Can you imagine that as a parent? Pleading for your child to do something that's a little fearful, but isn't a lot better than what situation you find yourself in. There's a lot of times when it comes down to us from a spiritual perspective, where we find ourselves in very similar situations, and the Almighty is telling us, just jump into my arms. Jump. And we're afraid to jump. This morning I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about what it really is. I want to talk about it from the standpoint of the relationship that we have with the Almighty God. Not from the formality that we do sometimes. What happens if you pray after you eat and not before? What happens? Depends how conservative you are, I guess. Right? What happens? What happens if we go through the formality of prayer? And the times that we've set aside to be able to do that, is that wrong? Absolutely not. It is not. Unless they become just the things that we do. There's an important piece. When I was younger, I can remember when certain people would get up to pray, I could quote their prayer. I memorized it. That's probably not right. On their part and mine, probably. But we understand when we're talking about prayer, what it really means. Truly is. I don't tell that story about my family from the standpoint of whether or not the little girl trusted her dad. That's not even an issue. That's not the point of what I'm trying to say. I just want to use that because sometimes in our minds, seeing things literally or understanding things physically makes the spiritual a little bit easier to understand. There are times when we are in great difficult situations, and Jesus will say things like, Matthew, the 6th chapter, don't worry. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Stop asking what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. We're like, well, I mean, that's like if I'm trying to pick me up, I want pasta, pizza, hot dogs, right? That's what we worry about. We worry about eating too much. They actually were worried about what they were going to eat. We Americanize that a little bit. Don't worry about those things. And you know what he says at the end of that? Oh, ye men of little faith. Jump out the window. God knows what you need. All you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God. When it comes down to having total trust, it depends on what kind of relationship you have with the Almighty God. You think about 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and if you would turn over there with me. The Apostle Paul, It says he entreated the Lord three times. Entreated the Lord for us is understanding that he was begging the Almighty God to take away this thorn in the flesh. He was pleading with him to take away this thorn in the flesh. And our Lord's answer to him in verse 9 is, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know what the amazing thing about Paul is? He actually meant that. Right? He just didn't say it. You ever pray something and we always throw like, if it be thy will at the end? No. That's just something we add to make it sound good. Isn't it? Or do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? There are times when we pray things and it just tries to make it sound good. Do you ever think about the fact that the Almighty, Brian and I were talking about this, the Almighty that you're talking to knows your deepest, darkest secrets, and we're trying to sugarcoat what we're trying to say to him? He knows. He knows you may be a little upset about what's going on in your life. He knows. And then we try to bow before him and talk to him as though he doesn't? He knows. We may not understand why we go through things. His ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts higher than our thoughts. He knows. This is the interesting thing to me. If you underline verses and you haven't underlined Psalm 20, verse 7, I encourage you to do so. Psalm 20, verse 7. He says, "Some trust or praise in chariots." Some trust chariots. Some trust horses. But we trust, or we boast, in the name of the Lord, our God. That is an amazing verse to me. Because we would say, well, I don't boast really in horses. I don't boast in chariots. Yeah, yes, you do. Yes, we do. We just don't call them chariots and horses. We can boast in a lot of things. And you can put whatever you want in there. We put our trust in a lot of things. But what he says is, we, David, us, should be, put our confidence, put our trust in the Almighty Lord and the Almighty God. That is what it's about. So when I bow down to pray to him, I know he's going to listen to me. And not only is he going to listen to me, he's going to answer me. And whatever the answer is, I'm going to be willing to accept. There's sometimes, brethren, I will tell you, that is a very difficult thing to understand. I want you to imagine for just a minute if your child came up to you and they said this to you. I thought this was pretty good. I wish I came up with it, but I didn't. "Grand, omnipotent father of the household, I beseech your presence, great provider of all I have. Grant me in thy presence through the long watches of the night, for lingering fears beset me verily. Until dawn's first rays at last light my heart with hope." Right? That's gorgeous. What if they said that instead of, "Dad, I'm afraid of the dark, would you help me?" Right? Which one sounds like what we would say? I am not suggesting in one second, to first of all call him dad. What I was talking about is your child coming to you. Or secondly, not being respectful. Shakespearean language does not make it respectful. Respectful, though. Understanding how we talk to him is highly important. And in my opinion, explains our relationship to him. He knows. He knows. I had struggled with this so much when I was younger. That you try to change the way that you talk to him as though he doesn't know. He already knows. The people that you see in the scriptures, when they talk to him, are a little different sometimes in the way that we talk to him, potentially. I want you to think about for a minute the reality of Habakkuk. As he is talking to the Almighty God, and how he talks to him,
you kind of wonder if he knew exactly who he was talking to, right?
I think he did.
What he says to God, in Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning of verse 2, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and will thou will not hear? I cry out to thee, violence, yet thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity, and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists, contention arises. Therefore the law is ignored and justice is never upheld, and the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore justice comes out perverted.
If it be thy will."
Right?
Violence. How long are you going to allow this to occur? You're not even listening to me, God.
If you read the rest of the book, he listens to him. So much so, as Brian pointed out to me the other day, we were talking about this, in Habakkuk, the second chapter, in verse 20, Habakkuk says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Guess what? God was there the whole time. He tells him, "I'm going to do something that you're not even going to believe if I told you." He answers his prayer. But how does Habakkuk pray? He seemed like he was a little upset, doesn't he? "When are you going to listen to me? Why are you allowing this to happen?" What about Elijah in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter? He goes through all these things, and he's being chased to be killed. You know what he says? "Just end my life. Just let this be over. I've had enough of this. It's over." There have been times when you're going through difficulties and depression, and we all do from time to time. And sometimes I'm afraid that when we talk to God, we just simply say things like, "Please help me in my difficulty." He knows them. He's there to help you through them. Talk to him. Take the time to talk to him. The Almighty himself, as he is in the garden of Gethsemane, pleads with his Father to let this cup pass from him. In Luke's description of this, he tells us that Jesus was in agony. He was distraught. In verse 41, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In agony. You know what the amazing thing is? God answers, the Father answers his prayer, doesn't he? He sends angels to strengthen him. When Jesus says, "If it be your will," that's actually what he means. "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me." When we pray to the Almighty God, every word that comes out of our mouth should have the intention of being for God. There are times, especially in public prayers, where there can be a potential that we're praying for people to hear us. It's to God. It's for God, on behalf of all of us. I've heard people say, "I cannot pray as well as other people, so therefore take me off the list." Gladly, because you're not praying for the right reason. It's understanding what the purpose is behind those things. The relationship that you have with the Almighty God, not only is supposed to be enduring times of thankfulness. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I find interesting of how we normally teach this is we'll always talk about we need to have the attitude of thankfulness. And there's true, that's true. No question about that. But we almost make to the point of we're supposed to never feel sad. It's okay for you to feel sad. It's okay for you to be angry and sin not. It's okay for us to have these feelings that every human being has, including our Savior. The question is, how do we handle them? Where do we turn when we go through these difficulties? Why were the apostles willing to rejoice if they suffered? Why were they willing to sing praises when they're in prison? Why? Because of the relationship with God. God wants to hear our prayers. You know, there are times in my life, I used to think, well, I mean, he already knows what I'm going to ask. Why should I pray? You know what? He knew I was going to say that. There are times when I'm talking to my children or people that I'm close to, I know exactly what they're going to say. And guess what? I still sit there and listen to them. At the end of this sermon, you know exactly what I'm going to say. Because you all stand up at the exact same time. Right? On a tremendously higher scale, the Almighty actually cares about each and every one of you and me in this building and everybody else on the face of this earth and wants you to talk to Him. Have a conversation with Him. No matter what emotions that you are having. I can remember when my grandfather was dying the year before. We were sitting around him and we were all praying that he would die. Take him. And God answered our prayer by giving him another year. Take him. Right? There are times he answers our questions a little differently. I've said this before, and this is an epiphany for me. There are times when we are praying for people that are dying, and we're saying, please heal them, our brother and sister in Christ, and He takes them home. That's the best healing they can have. Do we believe that the Almighty is going to answer our prayers? Are we in constant communication with Him? I fear sometimes that we get caught up. I'm going to tell you, Daniel, when he was praying, and they knew exactly when he was praying, it had not become a routine. Daniel's prayers every time meant something because of his relationship with God. It wasn't just the hour of prayer time, which they had. But it's understanding the big picture of things. When you talk to Him, do you talk to Him as though you have a relationship with Him? I cannot say this enough. I am in no way talking about changing the respect factor for the Almighty God. And I know that because I have grown up in this religion, conservative thought process for a long time. And what we do is try to dissect what somebody is saying to compare to what we normally think. Right? You're going to show emotion? You can't do that. That's what we do. We put it through that prism. Take that prism and kick it out. It's got to go through the prism of love. How do you talk to the Almighty God? What relationship do you have with the Almighty God? Do you have constant communication with Him? I'm going to tell you, Joshua chapter 9, turn with me over there if you would. It is an amazing thing that occurs here in chapter 9 and chapter 10. And both happen to be in verses 14. So he had some guys that come up, and they needed to be helped, so they looked. In their appearance, they just wanted to join up with Joshua. They had been traveling for a long time, they had said, and everything was fine. Right? God wanted us to know, in verse 14, very clearly that He had nothing to do with this. Because they agreed. In verse 14 it says, "So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord." Right? Joshua If he wrote Joshua, this is hilarious to me. Joshua is told, you need to write that you didn't answer or ask me, God said. They didn't ask me at all. The next chapter, in chapter 10, Joshua prays, and he doesn't even just pray like, please, if you will, do this. He says, make the sun stop. Stop. And that's exactly what happens. In verse 14 it says, and there was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of man for the Lord fought for Israel. He listened to the voice of a man. He prayed to him. When we pray, do we really think that God is going to listen? If you don't, you need to read James, by the way. But we have to understand when we are talking to him that he actually cares for us. You know when you're a little kid and your parents are a teenager and your parents wouldn't let you go to certain things and we're like, oh, you just don't even like me, right? They never want me to have any fun. I don't know where that voice comes from, right? But that's what we do. That's what I did until you become a parent. And then you're like, oh, that's why they do it. They really didn't want me to have any fun. No. It's the idea and understanding that they care so much for you that they know it's in your best interest. Don't you think it would be cool if you put a car key inside the electric thing over here? Right? That's what I did. The socket. It's not cool, by the way. We can understand why parents do what they do. The struggle is, that doesn't mean we always like it. And as immaturity comes, we really don't like it. As a free point, parents, sometimes you got to do that, by the way. We have to understand that when God answers our prayers, it is to the benefit or to his glory as to what's going to happen. You imagine Paul, as we talked about earlier, was entreating for these things to happen, and he said, my grace is sufficient to you so people can see my power. You know what, Paul? What about me? They're going to make fun of me, he says. That is what the reality is when it comes to prayer. There are some times when the prayers are going to be answered in ways that we may not want them to be answered. But I can guarantee you that the answer that is given is the correct answer. When I look back at my life and I see the things that have happened, there were times I'm like, how did I end up at West Mason? Right? How did this happen? I was praying when I was at Mill Road and then I'm here. 11 years later now. Think about that. We can look back in our lives and you can see how things happened and how God's hand is working in our lives and what he does. And the people, even the situations that are horrible and what they've gone through in their lives and the examples that they have left, there are people that worship the Almighty God today because they watched somebody go through something horrific and the attitude that they had when they went through it. Thy will be done. We are to pray for one another. We are to pray for everyone. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Now think about the verse 2, because Americans have a little trouble with this. For kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in the godliness and dignity. You want me to pray for who? For what? The kings? The people in authority? You ever read 1 Peter, the second chapter, when he's telling them to pray for the king? Pray for those in authority? We struggle with this, brethren. We take our ball and go home because the guy we voted for didn't get in. You know who voted for Nero? No one. We have to understand what it means to be a child of God and allow our light to shine. We have to understand what it means when God actually is in control. Not seems like he might be sometimes in control. He is in control. And his will is going to be done.
whether you like it or not. Whether I like it or not. And this is a struggle for me, as for anybody else. You think about these verses. Paul, as he is sitting in a prison, tells them to be anxious for nothing. Right? I get anxious when I go to the dentist. He's in prison. Be anxious for nothing. But with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. Cast all your burdens upon him, because he cares for you. In 1 Peter. Right? We understand that it's a part of the spiritual warfare. Our armor. Pray. Pray. What kind of a weapon is that? I don't know. What kind of weapon is it? You can talk to the Almighty God at any time. Seems pretty powerful to me. That's the real legitimate, my father can beat up your father. Pray to him. Talk to him. And James, it's the understanding that it's without doubting. Do not doubt. If you need wisdom, pray for it. Don't doubt. 1 John, the 5th chapter, when he says, according to his will. According to his will. I started off by talking about the fact that we will use a phrase like according to thy will or Lord willing. Those are certainly scriptural phrases. There's no question about that. But it's not about saying the phrase. It's about meaning the phrase. It's about living the phrase. Thy will be done. That means that I am willing to accept whatever the answer may be. Your will be done. That's different than just saying it. We must understand the tremendous opportunity that we have to talk to the Almighty God. It is an absolute privilege that all of us have if you're his child. You know, the amazing thing is when we pray to our Father and we haven't allowed him to be our Father. We haven't become a child of God. Think about that. It doesn't make any sense. By his grace, mercy, and love, he has given us the opportunity. It reminds me so much of David when he talks about, what is man that you even think of me? Why would the Creator even care what I think? Why would he even care about what I am going through? And the danger is, I think Satan leaks in every once in a while and says he doesn't care because there's people going through a lot more than you. He does care what you are going through. All of us. No matter what it is. Is that hard to understand? Of course it is. But my God doesn't fit in a box. Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. He is concerned with each and every one of us. He desires for everyone to be saved. And so do we. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and as I will say and always say, he is the Son of God. He was willing to come and to die for you. Think about it. Did Jesus have to die on a cross? Could Jesus have died a peaceful death? Jesus was also among the planners. He chose to die for you and for me. That's an amazing thing for me. For you and for me. To give us the opportunity to have that separation, that sin in our lives to be taken away. That we can have a relationship with the Almighty God. That we can be with him for eternity. If you are wanting to just repent of those sins that you have committed, to start living for him, that doesn't mean you're never going to sin. You shouldn't even think about, I'm going to wait till I'm perfect, because you're not. God makes us perfect. Only in him. Confess him as he is the Son of God, not just here, but in our everyday lives. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, to come up a child of God. That there's celebration going on in heaven for the soul, And I guarantee you there's celebration going on here. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you need to do that, now's the time. If you have questions, ask. If you need to pray, pray. Pray. If you want us to pray for you, let us know. If there's anything we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.